Good morning and welcome to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, here with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. How are you, Father Adam?
Wonderful.
It's a good day to be here, Friday.
It is.
I was thinking, though, for most people, Friday feels a little different than Friday does for a priest. Yes?
Yeah, you know, most priests, of course, this is the beginning of the busy time as we go into the weekend. Of course, Fridays are my day off, so I get a break right before we launch into the weekend.
Yet here you are, so thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Shall we begin with a prayer with our listeners? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you this day. We give you all of our sufferings and joys, all of our work and relaxation. We offer it all up to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. Been a lot going on, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of good stuff. I just have a fun little story to share for our listeners. Every morning I wake up and I pray that I will make some sort of investment in my marriage. Something, it doesn't have to be big, something small, whatever. But last week I had a couple days off in the middle of the week. So I told my husband, Tom, okay, I'm in charge of date night. I got it. You don't have to do anything. So a couple of weeks before, I was down in the basement, which is a scary place. My basement is a scary place, and I was trying to track down all of our camping equipment. And it's been a while since we've been camping, so I had to pull it all out, inventory, make sure it was all there. But then I had to put it all back so he wouldn't know I was down there. He wouldn't know what I was up to. And the day of the camping trip came, and he was at work. I loaded up the car. I went to the grocery store. I had food. I had firewood. I had all of the camping equipment, everything we needed. But Tom has a cardinal rule of camping, which is that you never go camping without first setting up the tent in the backyard and making sure all the pieces are there, the stakes, the fly, the poles, the tent itself. But I didn't have time to do that. I couldn't set up the tent in the backyard because he would have known what I was up to. So I took the bag labeled tent, threw it in the car, said a little prayer, hope for the best. He came home. We got in the car. We drove up to Alum Creek, and we pulled in the camp spot, and he was so excited. There was nobody else there. It's the middle of the week in October, and it was so great and fun and nice and exciting, and we unload all the camping stuff, and guess what?
What?
All of the parts of the tent were there.
Hey,
I know, I'm so happy because otherwise that would have been the opposite of investing in my marriage, right? That would have been disastrous. So I just share that story as a reminder to our listeners. If you're married, make an investment in your marriage today. It doesn't have to be something that dramatic and big, but we can make little sacrifices. We can do little things for our spouse throughout the day. Or if you're not married, make an investment in a relationship that's important.
That date night. The date night idea is really good.
Yeah, we try to do that. It's usually not that elaborate, but because we had the time, it was. But anyway, enough about me, because what we really want to hear about, Father Adam, is your little getaway last week.
Ah, that's right. We as in the priests of the Diocese of Columbus, were on convocation
We've been waiting for your report.
Yes, yeah. So we were up at Maumee Bay State Park, which is up on Lake Erie, not too far from Toledo. Actually, I think right outside of Toledo. I was in a cabin with Father Jonathan Wilson, Father Bill Hahn, Father Michael Hinnersheed, and Father Dan Dury.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's our guest today. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time together, 4 days. A couple points, I think. One is we really felt the prayers of all the people of the diocese. And I think we're speaking for all the priests, we're very grateful for those prayers. They were felt. I've been to a couple convocations, and this one, I think, was, in some sense, it was tougher because we were dealing with more difficult issues and information that we had to kind of process. But on the other hand, I think because of those prayers, it was actually probably the best convocation I've been on. Just a very fraternal. You know, sometimes there can be tensions, especially when there's difficult issues, but it went very smoothly. Everyone was very supportive of each other, very loving, you know. And I think really the highlight for me, and I don't know if all the priests would agree with this, but one of the evenings we just had kind of a time to process, especially all of the issues with abuse in the church and in our local church and kind of some of the issues that we've experienced the last couple years. And it was a time where I think priests were very vulnerable around each other, which I had never seen before, and I'm sure even older priests had never seen before. And I really think it was a great opportunity to begin healing. So it was a beautiful experience.
Wow.
And I mean, of course, the Lord provided all this, but I think the prayers of the people at home really, really helped.
Thank you for sharing that. This is the thing about this convocation. First of all, the Sarah Clubs of Columbus organized, I think most of our listeners know, this prayer vigil round the clock, 24 hours. So every hour that our priests were away on convocation, someone was praying for them in front of a tabernacle, in addition to all of the unorganized, you know, prayers. Yeah. That doesn't, maybe unorganized isn't the word I want, but tons of prayers. So we felt included in that way. But then our bishop called Bill Messerly, the director of St. Gabriel Radio, executive director, every day with an update. Every single day, our bishop was on the air giving us an update. And I think the laity felt so included in the process. It was dramatic. It was profound. It just touched our hearts so much. And then for you to come on and give us an update and give us that insight about that particular session specifically, we're so grateful. So thank you for that. We're grateful to our bishop. We're grateful to our priests. I think it was uplifting for everyone, even those of us who weren't there.
Yeah.
So it's October 11th, Friday, October 11th. October is a busy and fun month to be a Catholic. Respect Life Month, Rosary Month, lots of other things going on, which we'll be talking about. A couple of cool things that have been going on in our diocese. New rector at the Josephinum.
Yes. I think it was, the Feast of St. Therese that Father Basso was installed as rector.
Yes. And you guys were gone.
It
was during the convocation.
I think, and Bishop wasn't even able to attend.
Right. But, Bishop Campbell did the installation, right?
Yeah. And yes. No, it was the Apostolic Nuncio.
Oh,
Archbishop,
okay.
Pierre. Yeah, but then Father Basso joined us a little bit later in the week at the convocation.
He had a busy week.
He did, yeah.
That's great. And then we also have a new deacon in our diocese, Deacon Eugene Joseph. He was ordained later than his class because he was baptized in the Syro-Malabar rite of the Catholic Church. So he had some delay in getting all of the, I guess, paperwork done. So we're super blessed to have Deacon Joseph.
He's from your home parish, isn't he?
He is from our home parish. We're so proud of him. He's beautiful. So, all right, let's talk about what's coming up this morning. Who are we going to visit
with
this morning?
We've got two wonderful guests. First of all, Father Dan Dury is joining us, the pastor of St. Catherine, who is a hoot.
That'll be fun.
We're going to just kind of talk about life with him and enjoy his priestly stories, I'm sure. And then our second guest is Father Dean Matheson, who he's an older priest. He's over 70 now. He's been pastor of several parishes throughout the diocese, but currently he's very active in hospital ministry and hospital chaplaincy. So,
and that's what we want to talk to him about. He's active in a lot of things.
He is. But he's also the bishop's liaison to the Charismatic Renewal. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So we'll talk to him mainly about his hospital ministry, because we're sort of tying our theme in this week to the gospel for this coming Sunday, which we can talk more about. It's the cleansing of the lepers, the healing of the lepers. And so we want to talk to him to Father Dean about suffering and healing and prayer and all of the things related to suffering, which unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how we look at it, is something we will all experience to some degree at some point in our life. But before we do any of that, our listeners are in their cars, they're driving, they're struggling to get where they need to get. They need your help, Father Adam.
Traffic and weather is brought to you today by your guardian angel. Now, Katie, I have a question.
Yes.
On average, how many feathers does a guardian angel have?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Zero. They have no bodies. We got a high today of 80. It's currently 57 degrees. It will get cloudy this afternoon. In regard to traffic, it seems to be a slowdown on 70 west, east of 270. And those are the only incidents we see out there.
All right. Well, you'll keep us posted, yes?
And a reminder, if you are driving with a St. Gabriel bumper sticker on or magnet, please drive carefully and represent us well.
Be kind. Be kind. And then what's been going on this day in Catholic history? Anything we need to know about?
Today's a very significant day in Catholic history. In 1962 on this day, the Second Vatican Council opened.
The Second Vatican Council. And yes. There's been so much. Now, I think I heard that there in the 2,000 years of church history, there have been approximately 20 councils. Is that correct? Do you know? I think that's what I heard Bishop Barron say recently. Maybe one council per 100 years.
Well, you know, Vatican II was 90 years after
Vatican I. Yeah. I'm comfortable with a 100-year pace of a council. That feels right to me. I can handle that. And then we just wanted to catch you up on the Our Facebook Friends segment before we talk to Father Dury. We asked you to post your Bishop Brennan sightings, and we got a lot of really fun posts. You have seen Bishop Brennan in a lot of really fun places. I know that he was at the Watterson DeSales game last weekend. I don't know who he was rooting for, though. I'm pretty sure he didn't let anyone know if he had a favorite team. He was at the Josephinum 4-miler. He was at the men's prayer breakfast. A lot of you posted pictures. There he is with Father Vince Nguyen. Margie Barker posted a picture. This wasn't recently, but she saw Bishop Brennan at the Toby Mac concert the day after his installation. So I think that's pretty awesome. But we're going to keep going with this because it's so fun. We want you to post your Bishop Brennan sightings on our St. Gabriel Facebook page. If you have a picture, post it. But hey, friends, we don't want you to go all paparazzi on our bishop, okay? Just if you can appropriately and respectfully get a picture and post it on our Facebook page, please do so. Please let us know where you are seeing our wonderful bishop. All right, so now we are going to go. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt here with Father Adam Streitenberger, and now we would like to invite you to join us as we
welcome a special guest with us today, Father Dan Dury, pastor of St. Catherine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you both.
Well, it's good to talk to you. We're so happy to have you. It's been highly.
Are you really?
Yeah. It's been highly anticipated.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how you think later. But go ahead.
Now, Father Dury, as we begin, of course, you are next to, I think, Father Hinterscheid, one of the great sports fans of our diocese. How are the Blue Jackets?
Yes,
how are
ahead.
The Blue Jackets doing? And what are your predictions for their season this year?
Well, you know, it's a struggle so far, but they lost some good players, Panarin and Bobrovsky. So they're struggling. I went to the first game. That was a loss, 4-1. The second was 7-2, but they did win their third in overtime. So there's some hope in the midst of all of this. And so I really enjoy going to these games. And Father Adam often asks me, do I have season passes? As if this is a water park. It's all season tickets, Father Adam.
Oh, you don't just buy a pass and you get to kind of go whenever you want and out.
I was going to ask you who you got to cover your mask so you could go to the Blue Jackets game, but
and they must not be playing right now, or you wouldn't be here with us. Obviously,
okay, all right, that's going to go.
Well, we have a little game we want to play with you if you're up for it.
Not really, but go ahead.
Well, you know, you don't have to play, but
no,
I just,
I'll play. I'll
if
play
you
your
don't
game.
Play.
Is this like this marble game that you did? I mean, that thing was rigged.
Not really. It's not really like the marble game.
I'm the whistleblower here. That thing was rigged. We need an investigation.
Okay, so this game is a little different. It's called Categories, and I am going to give you a category, and you're going to name three items within that category. And we're just going to do this for a minute. And you are going to try to get as many correct answers as you can. and as many points as you can. We don't know what is a good score because we've only played it one other time. That was with Father Nick Ventura. He has 4 points.
All right.
So I don't know. That may be amazing. We just don't know yet.
It may be.
Also, I should let you know that Father Adam is the judge, and if he thinks one of your answers is not appropriate for the category, he will buzz you.
Oh, great.
I would advise you not to argue with him because that's
going to... No, I've learned that over the course of my priesthood.
Yes, okay. And that will just waste time. You can argue with him later if you want to, but... Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. 3 Disney villains.
Oh, geez.
You can pass if you want to.
Pass? I'm not good at that.
Okay. 3 human bones.
The femur, the clavicle, and the... rib. A rib is a bone.
3 documents of the Second Vatican Council.
Lumen Gentium, Dei Verbum, and Sacrosanctum Concilium.
3 hamburger toppings.
Pickles, onions, and lettuce.
3
Now we're talking too. Go ahead.
Yeah. 3 late night television hosts, past or current.
Oh, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, and David Letterman.
3 Italian saints.
Oh, St. Gemma, St. Agnes, St. John Paul II. No. Oh, shoot. And St.
How about St. Catherine of Siena?
St. Catherine of Siena.
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
3. Okay, time. Okay.
Time?
Yeah, that was a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Too.
But guess what? You have 6 points.
6 points, hey.
Okay. I'll
speaking of St. Catherine of Siena, what's going on over there at your parish? There's some big buildings going up there, aren't there?
Yes. We've got a new parish center going up and an adoration chapel and a couple new classrooms for our school. So the steel beams are up now, and it's getting exciting, and it should be done by June. I'm very excited mostly about the adoration chapel. I think that sitting in the presence of our Lord can have a huge impact in people's spiritual lives. And Mother Teresa often called that radiation therapy, you know, just sitting in the presence of Jesus and allowing his love to radiate into your heart and to strengthen us as disciples of Christ. So it's very, very exciting, and the people are very supportive and so thankful to them.
Are you going to try to have perpetual Eucharistic adoration? Is that a goal?
Yes, that's the goal in the end. Yeah,
nice.
We'll have to start off with probably 12 hours a day, but we'll get there, I think.
Now, you are leaving quite a legacy because you have...
God is.
No, well, I'm talking about getting building codes changed in Columbus.
Oh, yes.
Can you very, very tactfully tell us about that?
That's going to be tough for me, but every construction project runs into some issues. Well, ours was a sewage pipe that was there on the site, and the city wanted us to redo that pipe and to change its slope to be more dramatic. But we kind of inquired as to whether or not we could leave it at a lower slope, so they discussed it because it was going to cost us more money if we had to change it. And they discussed it and went to the higher-ups in the city of Columbus, and they determined that we could leave it there, a lower slope, and they changed the city code because of St. Catherine of Siena Parish about a sewage pipe. And that's one of my greatest accomplishments
in
my life.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you, Father.
Are they calling it the St. Catherine Slope or the St. Catherine Code? Or does it have an official name reflecting? It should.
Not that I know of,
okay.
But it could.
Maybe
it
we'll
could.
Petition for
one
that.
One final question, Father Durie. Our topic today is hospital ministry, kind of sick calls, illness, and suffering. How do you handle sick calls there? Like, is there an emergency number? Like, if a parishioner is going to the hospital, how do you know that they're there?
Yeah, we have an emergency line, so that message will come to me, and then I'll go out to the hospital wherever they are and anoint them and give them apostolic pardon. And It can be difficult at times, as you know, Father, to ministers and when people are suffering, but also can be a moment of blessing and grace. And people often at that time of their lives, at the end, will be more open to, I think, the Holy Spirit and to healing. So often I've seen sometimes physical healing take place, but you know, we rely on the grace of our God to, at those times of our lives, to really, we can unite our sufferings to the cross, right, for the salvation of souls.
I imagine that's a very difficult part of your priesthood, just seeing the suffering and the desire for healing, and sometimes when it doesn't come. But I imagine it's also a very rewarding thing to be able to be part of, right?
Yes, I think so. I think as priests, that's our calling, to minister to people, to bring them Christ. And when we can do that, we're more fulfilled as a result, right? So anytime that we can do that, with any sacrament, any setting, we grow in grace too. So, yep, absolutely.
Excellent.
Well, we thank you for that. We thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for being a good sport. We thank you for your sewage pipe legacy for the whole city of Columbus.
Yeah.
So much you're contributing. So much, Father Dury. You're just such a blessing.
Thank you, Father Dury, for joining us. And, of course, we encourage all of our listeners to pray for priests and to pray for Father Dury and his parishioners.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back with some other fun Friday morning things. So don't go away. We want you to be here with us when we come back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We'll be back.
I recently had lunch with an ex-gang member who had converted to Catholicism. He told me his story, how he used to get respect by hurting people, jumping people from rival gangs and beating them up with his fists, chains, and even stabbing them. He shared how he used to get a rush out of running from rivals who were trying to get even. All that changed when he found our Lord thanks to a gang outreach program called Prevención y Rescate. As he spoke, his eyes were bright and pure. His face was gentle. I looked at him and said, "Angel," that's his name, "I can't even see the guy you're describing. He's not in there anymore. He's completely gone." As St. Paul wrote, "Anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone." If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, you know. The old is gone. And the only person with the power to keep holding the past over your head is you. Stop doing that. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Good morning, everyone. This is Father Adam Streitenberger. I'm with my co-host, Katie, today on the Friday Morning Show at St. Gabriel Radio. And as we go in, let us start with traffic and weather, which is, of course, brought to you today by your guardian angel. A high today of 80. It is currently 60 degrees. And currently, there does not seem to be any sort of traffic incidents.
What?
Traffic is as normal.
That's a huge blessing.
A reminder, if you are driving with a St. Gabriel bumper sticker or magnet, to remember that to represent us well.
And to be kind, to drive well, to be smart. Okay, we have our Catechism Minute, which today is sponsored by the good people of St. Catherine of Siena with proceeds from their annual Christmas tree sale. Remind me to tell Father Dury about that. He doesn't know that yet. Actually, I'm kidding, St. Catherine. Don't worry. That's not really true. Okay, what are we looking at in the Catechism this morning, Father Adam?
Paragraphs 1520 through 1523. So we're gonna summarize four paragraphs today, and it's on the effects of the sacrament of anointing of the sick. So since we're talking to Father Dean Matheson, the hospital chaplain today, I think it's good for us to remember the effects, the graces that we receive from the sacrament of anointing of the sick. The first is that the sacrament strength gives us strength, peace, and courage to overcome the difficulties that go with the conditions of a serious illness or the frailty of age. So the first grace is that it strengthens us in suffering and in the illness. The second is that it unites us with the passion of Christ. It unites us with Christ's suffering, that in a sense Christ becomes more closely drawn into our life in this suffering by the anointing of the sick. Third, it unites us more fully to the church so that as we are offering up, lifting up this suffering, it can contribute to the good of all in the church. And then finally, anointing of the sick, especially when it is given as one approaches death, prepares us for our final journey. It kind of strengthens us and consoles us for that final journey. So those four great graces is that it strengthens us in our suffering, it unites us to Christ in our suffering, it unites us to the rest of the church in our suffering, and it prepares us for our final journey.
Can you give us those paragraphs again, Father Adam? Because I think it's good. I think the sacrament of anointing is probably quite misunderstood, and it may be good for us to spend some time before we're in the situation where we need to receive the sacrament to understand what it is, or maybe we'll have a loved one who will be receiving the sacrament. So
yes, paragraph 1520 through 23, which is in the middle of this section on the sacrament of anointing of the sick, which starts at paragraph 1499.
Okay. So. It is Friday, October 11th. Our saint of the day is St. John the 23rd. What do you want us to know about John the 23rd, Father Adam?
Well, you know, John the 23rd died on June the 3rd. But why do you think that instead of celebrating his feast on June the 3rd, his death date, like we normally do with most saints, we celebrate it on this day?
I don't know.
Now, do you remember our Catholic history of the day?
I do.
What happened? What started on this day?
The Second Vatican Council.
The Second Vatican Council. And since John the 23rd was the Pope who called that council, we remember and we celebrate his feast day on this day.
Now, do we know whose feast day is June the 3rd? You know who would know? Father Sean Dooley would know that.
He would.
Yeah. He's got this really weird ability.
The 5th is St. Boniface.
Okay.
I think the 6th is the Ugandan martyrs.
Okay. So, happy feast day to our friends at St. John the 3rd Parish in Canal Winchester, their pastor, Father Brian O'Connor. We are praying for your parish today. And let's talk about the gospel for the day. What is our gospel today, Father Adam?
Well, in our gospel today, the Lord is driving out demons. He's exorcising demons. And the people accuse him of doing it in the name of Beelzebul, that he must be on the side of Satan and the demons if he's able to drive out demons, which, of course, I think represents a real resistance to Jesus, you know, that the people of his time, especially those who were accusing him of this, were really looking for any reason to reject him and to resist him. Even this crazy notion that someone who exercises demons is on the side of demons. But then the Lord responds to them, he who is not with me is against me. And it is the reminder that we have to, in a sense, resist the resistance of our hearts and choose Christ and opt for him. And really, you know, it's a choice between him or other things.
Okay, can I ask a question about that then? Because that I strive every day, and I think I'm not alone in this. I'm gonna guess our listeners can relate to this. Strive every day to be with Christ. Strive every day to be for him, not against him. But I am easily distracted from that. Things come up. So is it all or nothing? Like, we can't have one foot in and one foot out. We got to be all in, right? But it's a journey as well. And our Lord knows we're on a journey, right? He's slow to anger, abounding in kindness.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we define faith as a submission to Christ, you know, a complete submission to Christ. And on the one hand, it's a total gift. You know, we're supposed to choose him completely and to give ourselves completely. But I think all of us, that complete gift of ourself oftentimes takes a whole lifetime, you know. And even though we may really definitively opt for him, as they might say, at one point in our life, you know, really accept him and give ourselves to him, there is still this letting go of our control and of our kind of possession of everything else and clinging to Christ. And that really does take a whole lifetime.
Well, that is something for us to ponder. We're going to go to break. And although we want you to listen to the ads and commercials and announcements on the break, we also want you to ponder what Father Adam just shared with us on the gospel. So don't go away. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we will be right back.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
On October 13th, St. Coleman Church, 219 South North Street in Washington Courthouse, will feature a contrast and choral color concert. The choir of St. Coleman Church, soloists, and a chamber orchestra will present John Rutter's Requiem and Antonio Vivaldi's Gloria. For more information, visit the website stcolemanmusic.org. The Basilica and National Shrine of Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio, will host a Mass of Hope and Healing on Friday, October 11th at 7 p.m. This Mass is for cancer victims, survivors, caregivers, and their loved ones. Following the Mass, the friars will be available for special healing prayers with individual visitors and families. For more information, visit the website olcshrine.com. On October 11th at 7 p.m., David Haas will be in concert at Church of the Resurrection, 6300 East Dublin Granville Road in New Albany. For more information, visit npmcolumbus.org. For St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, I'm Chip Stalter.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Is the Eucharist really Jesus?
Not to demean the faith of others, but actually, if you say you're a Christian, then there's no reason not to believe in the Eucharist. At the Last Supper, Jesus told his apostles, "This is my body." He didn't say, "This is a symbol." And in John 6, when Jesus says, "The bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world," a lot of people refuse to believe. So what did Jesus do? Did he run after them and say, "Wait, I was just speaking symbolically"? Did he explain what he really meant to his disciples, as he had done nearly every time he told a parable? No. In fact, he asked his apostles if they were going to leave too. Jesus must have been pretty serious about his flesh being real food if he was willing to part ways with some of his closest friends over the matter. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. One of the things I'm learning from Pope Francis is to focus more on people and less on efficiency. We can sometimes miss Jesus in the face of our neighbor when we are solely focused on completing a task, even if it's a good work. Pope Francis said we must grow in passion for evangelizing. If we must sacrifice something, let's sacrifice organization and move forward with the mysticism of the saints. How can we do this in daily life? Here's an example. I'm a member of a spiritual book group, and at first we marched efficiently through the book. Over time, we began sharing more personal stories and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us and guide our time together. We are less efficient, but we are acting with more humility and love. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, help us to put people before efficiency and to strive for the mysticism of the saints. Amen.
Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie White, here with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger, on Friday, October 11th. Father Adam, you have one more update for us?
Yes, traffic and weather. Brought to you today by your guardian angel. Currently, it's 60 degrees. It's going to be a high of 80 degrees today, and probably getting cloudy later this afternoon. Just one traffic incident to report to you today, or at least this morning. The Jackson Pike westbound is stopped right before the I-71 exit.
All right. Thank you for that update. And don't forget our bumper sticker reminder.
Yes, if you're driving with a St. Gabriel bumper sticker or magnet, please remember to represent us well.
We are so blessed to have with us here in the station this morning Father Dean Mathewson. He's a priest of our diocese. He's involved in many, many ministries. We'll let him tell you what they are. But we wanted to have him here today because we're reflecting on Sunday's gospel, where the 10 lepers are cleansed and one returns to say thank you. So, Father Adam, why don't you give us a little more information?
As we're going to hear this weekend about the cleansing of the lepers and this sort of the healing that they experience and the gratitude that the Samaritan leper shows, we really wanted to focus today on the fact that all of us in some ways are in need of healing, and throughout our lives we experience sickness or illness. And we want to talk to maybe an expert in this field, one of our beloved hospital chaplains, Father Dean.
So good morning, Father Dean.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Great.
So Father, I often get this question, how do priests know if I'm in the hospital?
They have no way to know. In the old days, hospitals actually called. Modern day laws prohibit that, well, sort of prohibit that, and it doesn't happen. So the only way for your pastor, your priest to know that you're in the hospital is for you to tell them or have the family tell them. And ideally, if we're going to talk about anointing while we're on that topic, you go to that priest and have him anoint you before your surgery or before your admission to the hospital. Because oftentimes those things happen very quickly, move quickly once you're in the hospital, and I'm not able to get there in time to beat your surgery or whatever the need is. So really important advice to be sure to have that sacrament before you go.
Speaking of you not being able to get there in time, how many hospitals do you cover?
I have 4 different hospitals, and that's about 200 Catholic patients. And many have tremendous needs that can't be covered in 5 minutes and move on to the next patient. Many are dying. Many are struggling with their dying. Many are away from the church. So many tremendous needs to be met.
Certainly, you see great joy and consolation in bringing the sacraments to these people in the hospitals. Perhaps you could share some of your experiences.
Sure. Wonderful stories. Wonderful stories. One of my favorite just recently happened. I went to see a lady who had just recently gotten a bad diagnosis, and that's often the situation I'm in. I'm called because they got a bad diagnosis. Patient is struggling with a new diagnosis and not knowing what to do, just crying. Met with her, talked some, and gave her, to cut kind of the story short, gave her the sacrament for the sick. And I don't think, sometimes when a person receives that sacrament, they really do experience physical healing. And I'm going to have no difficulty saying that. She, I don't think, did. But what she received was a wonderful spiritual healing. She said, "Father, I am so at peace. You know, after being tormented, frightened, was at peace after the celebration of the sacrament." Mm. I'll have many more stories, but that's a good story.
Yeah. I was wondering, you deal with the patients and visit with the patients, but do you also work with the medical staff too?
Yes, some, but not a lot. Mostly with the patients and families.
Yeah.
Yes. If there's some kind of issue, then I often try to advocate some for the family or the patient. Yeah.
One of the questions that I think frequently comes up, especially as we face a diagnosis, is do I pray for healing or do I pray to accept God's will?
I think both. I think it's important that we always look for God's will and try to live with God's will. But certainly we can pray for what we want, and usually that's healing. I love the story of Jesus in the agony in the garden. Jesus didn't say, "Okay, I like this. This is good. I want to suffer." No, not at all. Let this cup pass me by. And so we have a wonderful example in Jesus himself showing us that we can ask God for that healing. We can ask God that this cup of suffering pass us by. But in the end, we want to say what Jesus said. not my will, but your will be done. But what I want to help people think about and look at is that's very hard. I can say that now on the radio just nice and easily, but that is a very hard thing to live.
What are the keys to suffering well?
I think I love, I know I love the Holy Spirit, and I love praying for the Holy Spirit for a person who's struggling in the hospital in the anointing. Sometimes I think we move too quickly through that prayer in the anointing. It's asking, it's really invoking the power of the Holy Spirit to help the person. And I suspect for that lady I was talking about earlier, that's what happened. She really received the help of the Holy Spirit, and in that help of the Holy Spirit was able to trust God more and to be able to say, thy will be done. It's only his help. We forget how weak we are, how helpless we are, and how much we need the sacraments because we can't do those things on our own. We just can't.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the concept of redemptive suffering? It's something I know that we hear a lot about as Catholics. I know, you know, offer it up or don't waste your suffering. Can you just explain what that is and why that's helpful and why that's essential?
I love Bishop Sheen, going back a few years, I love Bishop Sheen's statement, do not waste an ounce of suffering. Maybe you've heard that. It's a great saying, but you have to be a little careful how you present that to folks, because it can sound like you're not very sympathetic, not very compassionate. So you have to be really careful how you say that, and maybe do a lot of groundwork first. But of course, the point is that we unite our suffering to Christ's suffering. And just as Christ's suffering was wonderfully powerful for the sake of all people who would ever live, our suffering can help people as well. And that's what the bishop meant when he said, don't waste it. Offer it for specific people. I really like that idea. I think it gives people some comfort in their struggle. I think it also helps people. And if we have some time, I'll tell you some wonderful stories about how it's helped people in their growth, in their family's growth, the suffering that they've encountered.
Yeah,
maybe
we'd love to hear one of those stories. Yeah.
Okay. For example, a man who had some neuro struggles. He just suddenly, his young man struck down suddenly, unable to walk eventually. It just took over his neuro system and he was not able, not medical, so I don't know exactly how that worked. But I know that his description was he just couldn't do anything. I mean, like raise his arm, drink a cup of tea. He was so distraught, and he's coming out of it and doing fairly good, but he was still so distraught by the whole thing. And I'm a little bold. And I said to him, I think it was the Holy Spirit because it worked. If it had been Father Dean, it wouldn't have worked. I said, do you think any good has come out of this? Well, there's this very long, pregnant pause. And he said, well, I'm closer to my family than I've ever been. Mm. You know, and we've pulled together through this. They've helped me. I am so grateful to my friends, and I've learned that I haven't been very good to my friends. I've learned that I've not been a good friend. When they've been sick, I didn't support them, but my friends have really come through. So it both touched powerfully his family life and also touched very much his person, changed his person for the better. And it was very funny. I didn't expect this at all. He was not connected to the church. Most of the people I see are not connected with the church because they don't have a priest of their own. That's why I get called. So he shows up at my parish where I live, St. Thomas Parish, and just announces himself proudly as that, because I didn't recognize him, out of the bed and walking around, and announces himself and said, I wanted to stop and see you before I left town. Because it brought him a lot of peace and comfort, a lot of peace and comfort. To see the good that God works in the midst of our suffering. But again, we have to be very careful how we approach that.
Mm-hmm. Right. People have to be ready to hear that message and embrace that message. And
very much so.
I have one more quick question before we go to break. So how can we prepare? Right. We're all going to experience some sort of suffering, whether for ourselves or family members, something. But we don't want to get to that point and then have to know how to do it well. Are there things we can do before we get to that point where we need to know how to suffer well to prepare for that?
So I think the key is building the relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. I think often we don't work hard enough at that specifically. I love the little phrase and use a lot in the hospital, the little phrase in the bottom of the Divine Mercy picture, Jesus, I trust in you. And it's even more beautiful in the Spanish. I'm terrible at Spanish. I'm going to mispronounce this, and I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. Confío, something like that. And it means trust. It's the way that's translated the other direction in Spanish. But it means trust because I have experienced your love for me in the past. I've learned that you will come through for me, that you are faithful. It's all about relationship. Our word trust doesn't have all those overtones. And that's what we need to work at so that when they're in the midst of terrible times, we can look and say, Jesus, I trust you. I love this level of one quick line. I was visiting a lady and I said, you know, Jesus loves you or something like that. I often say something like that. And she said, from the bottom of her toes, oh, I know he loves me. Mm. You know, and that's the fruit of building that relationship. And then in the midst of suffering, you have strength and courage to suffer well. Mm.
Yeah. And to know that Jesus loves you even if you're suffering, right? It's not a punishment or a... Well, we are so grateful.
Beautiful. Thank you, Father,
thank you for being here with us. Thank you for coming into the station. It's so nice to be able to sit across from you and chat with you. We're grateful. So.
I like this much better, yes.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with Katie and Father Adam. Don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero, Sarah, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? My husband once took a photo of me gazing out towards a beautiful sunset. My eyes were full of wonder as I admired the strokes of pink, orange, and yellow painted in the sky. Can you believe that's just a glimpse of how our first parents, Adam and Eve, looked at one another? They were awestruck with beauty. Adam saw Eve as a person to love, not an object to use. Eve saw Adam as a gift to receive, not to take. Pope John Paul II called this the peace of the interior gaze, absolute trust. Because of original sin, we can't experience the same exact shock and awe, but we can rediscover the loving gaze that Christ has for us through the lens of the theology of the body. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, here with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger. We are wrapping up this Friday morning. Father Adam, we have something very important to talk to our listeners about.
Yeah, yes? Welcome back, everyone. Well, you know, this month of October is always dedicated to world missions. And, of course, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has kind of named this an extraordinary missionary month to kind of emphasize it even more, especially because this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of a very important apostolic letter by Pope Benedict the 15th, Benedict the 15th, not the 16th, called Maximum Illud. In that document, Benedict the 15th reminded the church throughout the world that we have a responsibility to reach out and proclaim the gospel, to evangelize. In a special part of evangelization, what we most often think of evangelization, which is called the mission ad gentes, or the mission to the nations. So this is kind of what we usually think of evangelization, that, you know, going to some sort of tribe in Papua New Guinea or in the Amazon and that have never heard of the gospel before and kind of proclaiming the gospel there. So Benedict XV, 100 years ago, directed our attention to this, that we really needed to keep this up. Francis, in kind of focusing on that document this year and this month, is reminding us that the mission ad gentes, the mission to the nations, to those who have never heard of the gospel, doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go to some sort of island in the Pacific or into the deep forests of the Amazon, that here in the Western world, there are many who have not heard the gospel, who do not know Jesus Christ. Especially we see this rise in what are called the nones, the N-O-N-E-S, secular people who have had no kind of religious affiliation at all in their lives. And this segment is actually, some would even speculate, 25% of the American population. So we have a real responsibility to this mission, even here in our own country.
And that's the kind of the whole point of our show, right? To help people recognize our missionary responsibility. It's a big objective of our bishop.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I mean, that's how I got a job. at least this particular job. So as coordinator for evangelization.
Would you call it a job or would you call it an assignment?
An assignment.
A designation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. An opportunity.
An opportunity. Yeah, there we go.
And Pope Francis put out a letter about this month, kind of, again, recognizing Benedict XV's contributions and that this mission is even done here in the United States or in the Western world. And Francis made a couple points. First, that we should the church should permanently be in a state of mission. And this is a phrase which he uses quite often. And that means that the church isn't about mere administration or giving sort of basic programming, you know, like just running schools or running parishes or offering the sacraments, but really that the church should be continually reaching out to those who haven't heard the gospel message as well. And that all of these sort of all of these activities, our schools, our hospitals, our charitable works, are opportunities to reach out to those who haven't heard the gospel.
So we like to, we didn't do this last time, but we want to start doing it weekly, is offering a discipleship challenge for you, our listeners. So, Father Adam, what is our discipleship challenge this week based on this extraordinary missionary month? What do you recommend?
Well, I think it's maybe to find Pope Francis's message online. You can find it on the Vatican webpage. There's a little tab for this extraordinary month of the mission. Of course, you know, the Vatican webpage is vatican.va. So, but maybe read that reflection. But also, I think, reflect on those people around us, perhaps at work or in your neighborhood or even in your family, who have not yet encountered Christ. And I think in that is to pray to the Lord about how you might reveal Christ to them.
Right. It's easy. I like to put myself in a Catholic bubble, right, where I surround myself with people that think like me and believe what I believe, and I can have these great Catholic conversations with us. But that's really not what we're called to be doing. So it's a challenge to go out and share the good news.
For sure. Katie, what's coming up this week
in
the diocese?
Goodness. So much coming. You know, I wonder if every diocese is as vibrant and active and awesome as the Columbus Catholic Diocese, because there is just always so much going on. There's no excuse not to be plugged into something. So, personally, for myself, I'm 25% Italian, but anyone who's any percent Italian pretends like we're 100% Italian. And the Italian festival is coming up this weekend, today through Sunday at St. John the Baptist. And not to be outdone by the Italians, I assume you're German. Is that correct,
Father? Jawohl, yeah.
So At St. Mary's in German Village, Oktoberfest is going on tonight and tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you dare festival hop? Can one go back and forth between Oktoberfest?
I think you can.
Don't know. Does it create cultural conflict?
No, not at all. It might cause indigestion, but not cultural conflict.
Some sort of conflict. Tonight, also Friday at Church of the Resurrection at 7 p.m., David Haas is presenting a concert. He is someone that you might not know his name, but you definitely know his music. He's been a liturgical composer for the Catholic Church for many years, and then he's presenting a workshop the next morning. You can find information all over the place about that.
And then on Sunday, October the 13th at the cathedral, the bishop will be there for the Family Rosary Day at 3 p.m.
In honor of October.
Our Lady of the Rosary is this month. It was, of course, the feast was on Monday, but the whole month is dedicated to this great devotion to the Rosary. So I think, you know, in addition, if we might add another little challenge, is I think this is a good month if you're not praying the Rosary regularly to try to work it into your program.
And that can be a daunting, if rosary is not a regular part of your prayer routine, it can be daunting. Start with a decade, start with a mystery. You know what, if you don't know the mysteries of the rosary, that you can find them anywhere. So you know, don't give up before you even start, because it's just too overwhelming. And
baby steps.
Yes. Yeah. There is a pro-life conference at St. John Newman on October 19th from 9 to 3. Lots of speakers, lots of information. And pro-life, we have to remember as Catholics, is conception to natural death. So they're covering all of those kinds of topics. Should be fascinating. I think the young adult conference is tomorrow at St. John Newman.
Is
that right?
Yeah.
There's so much going on at St. John Newman.
It's also the beginning of turkey season tomorrow as well.
Are you hunting tomorrow?
I am going out tomorrow morning.
So you're a bow hunter.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten a turkey?
No, I haven't. So.
Have you ever tried?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So if you get a turkey, is that like going to be your family's Thanksgiving turkey?
No, they're not. They're not big enough. Wild turkeys aren't big enough to feed a family.
Not?
No.
Well, you have to get several then.
Yeah, you have to get several.
Okay. So. Are you going to Vinton County to do that?
Yes, correct.
Nice.
Yeah. And then also, Ralph Martin will be in October the 19th at 6:45. Dr. Ralph Martin is the author of the book, The Fulfillment of All Desires, which is a great intro to the spiritual life kind of book, if you're looking for one.
And that's part of the series that you've implemented at the cathedral.
From the cathedral pulpit.
Yes. Yeah. Specifically related to discipleship and mission?
Yeah, his topic is on the universal call to mission. From the cathedral pulpit we're going to have speakers once a month, every month, to come and speak really on discipleship and different aspects. So what we're focusing on this year is evangelization.
And is that for every young adult through adult? I mean,
who is
that?
Yes, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huge event in the worldwide Catholic Church, the canonization of John Henry Newman on October 13th on Sunday. So that's, what did I hear? He's the most influential theologian who wrote in English. I'm sure it was stated much more articulately when I heard that. Yeah.
No, he's a great writer. What's interesting, I just saw this, is he's the first novelist to be canonized.
Oh.
Yeah, he wrote a novel. I can't remember. I think Candida is the name of it, but it's set in like the Roman age.
I did not know that.
I'll
have to add that to my pile of books that I'm trying to read.
Very good.
Why don't you close us in prayer, Father Adam?
Sounds great. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time together and for this hour. We ask that you continue to bless us and bless our day. And we unite this day and entrust it to Our Lady as we do all the time. Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of the Rosary, pray for us. And for my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam. Until we meet again, peace and all good.